It's Reality Bites. Every episode on the Believe Podcast Network, I sit down with one of my famous, or not, sports-loving, lawn-mowing, beer-chugging guy friends who I force to sit and watch what most men are forced to watch by a loved one multiple times a week on this great country of ours, reality television. Most men pretend not to like it or admit that they watch it, but I force them to talk about it on Reality Bites. I'm Rob Evers, your sports-loving, beer-chugging host who just happens to be obsessed with reality TV. Guys, every week I usually get one of my friends to sit down and talk about a specific show. We go through the characters, we talk about the people on it. This time I'm going to do something very, very different. I have actually got two guys that are on a reality TV show to sit down and talk to me about what it's like to be the people on here. Not only do I have two guys on a show, but I would say that you guys are probably the most recognizable male personalities on a reality TV show right now. Mr. Jax Taylor and Mr. Tom Schwartz.
Thanks for having me.
Wow. Thank you for that introduction.
Would you guys agree with
that? A sexy introduction. Can you do that for all the podcasts or all the events that I do? Can you just announce
Yeah,
me?
I'll just announce you. Yeah, just coming to the stage. Yeah, one of your favorite, most recognizable.
You had a great cadence too. Very, very just warm.
Yeah, that's like voice. 10 years of acting school. That's what it all got me right there. That and learning how to drive a car in a commercial audition and eat a hamburger.
I know all about the pretend to be driving cars in auditions. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
It's always like, it always just blows my mind when people are like, all right, so I just drove here. And now they're like, so when you're sitting there, just, you know, look in the rearview mirror and then you like see something out your window and then look back at it. And people can't fucking do it. It's like, how did you get to this audition right now?
And watching it on TV, it's the same three locations for every car commercial.
It's always that one road.
Like Point Doom, somewhere out there usually, out there, somewhere on the PCH.
Definitely downtown.
Yes, definitely downtown at night, the LA Bridge with all those lights.
And it's always wet.
It's always wet. There's a reason for that. Yeah. There's a reason why that's in TV commercials, TV shows, everything. There's always wet. I always wanted that too. I forget the reason, but there's a reason for that.
Was to make the car shine. Look a little nicer, I guess. LA dirty streets.
Well, it's like for any TV show, I've always noticed the ground is always wet for, I'm sorry, any car commercial.
Yeah.
It's just like, it makes the car look.
I used to think it's because they were washing away all the homeless people downtown. Oh,
God. There's an abundant amount of homeless people here right now.
It's just getting, I mean.
I heard that we are getting, what do they call that? What do they call it when a hurricane comes? I'm sorry, I got a brain fart right now.
A hurricane?
We call that a national disaster.
Like national emergency.
Emergency. We are, LA is doing a state, trying to ask for a state of emergency with the homeless people right now.
But think about it. And Schwartz, you've been homeless before, so you can attest to this, right?
Yes.
But think about it. You can.
More than once for myself.
Yeah, me too. If I were a homeless person, wouldn't you, if you have nothing better to do and you're like homeless in like Cincinnati, let's say.
Okay.
Wouldn't you just start walking to the beach?
Or an airport.
And
steal luggage.
Oh, all right.
Absolutely.
You thought about this.
Yes, I've thought about it.
Wow.
Exactly. I would steal people's... If you have to live, yes. I've thought about these kind of things, where I would live.
What would you do if you were homeless?
There's some legal hindrances that I don't fully understand, but I think for some reason they can't go to the beach. I don't know what the legal jargon for it is.
I saw Fletch. They go to the beach.
they just can't go to Beverly Hills. They can't get kicked out of Beverly Hills.
You can't even have a scooter in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. But you know what? I do like the beach idea, but it is very cold down there.
That's true.
It is cold, and it gets cold, super cold at night.
That's true.
But you also don't want to be in the valley, and I see a lot in the valley. So it's kind of like you got to find a happy medium.
This is what I would do if I was homeless. No matter where in the world I was, I would beg for enough money to get like a hotel room for like two nights, right? And then I would steal a bike or something, right? And go to like middle America, nowhere middle America, where people are barely surviving. And then just like shave and get a job as a dishwasher in a diner somewhere and like marry the waitress and start a whole nother life.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. I think a lot of it has, not to be Debbie Downer, but a lot of it, obviously these people are like mentally disturbed and they need a lot more than just a handout. And I mean, there's no easy solution for it. I read all, it's fucking sad. Have you guys been to Skid Row lately?
Yeah.
And there's like new Skid Rows emerging all over the place. And, yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Then again, I've also seen homeless people on laptops See, I've literally seen it. I'm almost wondering, like, are you wireless? Like, and some of them, from what I hear, again, I just read this, that some of them make a lot of money, like on the promenade in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
There's people that have bank accounts.
I was at the Enterprise Fish Company down in like Venice, Santa Monica by Main Street. And this homeless guy reeled up to me in his thing with his one leg, you know, just, you know, kind of one legged wheeled up to me. And he's like, yo, man, you have any money? I'm like, no. And as I turned away, I saw him pull out his cell phone and be like, yeah, sorry about that. I had to ask for money for real quick. So what were you saying? On his cell phone.
Yes. They're wearing like brand new Nikes with like jewelry on.
Yeah.
I mean, at least look the part. Like, try to fool me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if you're rolling up with brand new jeans on, you know, you got a lot of them have like brand new sneakers on, some jewelry, they're clean shaven, hair slick back. You know, at least look the part. Like, you know, if you're going for a roll, you're not going to look like a clean cut guy.
Evoke some sympathy.
Yeah.
Some empathy.
Yeah, empathy.
No, empathy to the, but yeah, there's also like, there's, I mean, I don't know about in Los Angeles, but all around the world this happens. There's groups of, you know, essentially beggars that work together. You know,
like
organized units that work together,
like in the musical Oliver.
Yes, yes, they work together and they're making good money. I saw a video online where somebody followed him because they knew that he was full of shit and he was a panhandler. And at the end of the day, they followed him with a camera to his Mercedes. Yes, it was a used Mercedes. Like it was like a 1999. One of those. But still, this guy had a Mercedes.
His payments were only $250 a month. I mean.
Some strong corners that he worked at.
Okay, but so there's a lot of people that come out to Los Angeles, right? And we've all been, I mean, I've lived in my car. So like this conversation isn't like us saying anything that's not something that we've almost experienced. If not, I mean, I could be at a, you guys are much better now. But like to a point is that like there's been times recently where I've been like, well, fuck, I'm only $10 away from that guy on the street.
I've been there. I've gone through like 48 hours of me living in my pickup truck at one time. I also lived in one of my best friend's garage. I lived in his garage for a good solid week.
Oh, I've couch surfed all over the place. I lived in my car with my dog for a good month at one point, and it's crazy.
I tell you what, though, I look back at that, and I'm like, God, I never want to go there, but I'm very glad that I was there. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me who I am now. I appreciate a lot more. Like, I've hit the bottom. Like, there was no worse that I could have been. I was literally living out of my truck.
Yeah.
I think you remember that. I was living out of my truck. And then to have to, like, call my friend and be like, listen, I know you're selling your house. His house was on the market at the time. It's my buddy David. And I said, hey, can I just stay in your garage for a couple days till I get my shit together?
Just for the record, I think we should let the record show that it was the garage of a beautiful house in the hills next to Matthew Perry.
Yeah, that's true. It was. But nonetheless, it was a garage, my car.
Garage, pool house with its own legs. Yeah, like,
I opened the garage in the morning and see Matthew Perry out and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
and,
my God.
But the point of the story is I know exactly where you're coming from. And I tell you what, I'm glad that that happened to me because now I know where it can go and how fast it can go.
Yeah, how about you? Have you been close to it at all?
I've been negative in my bank account multiple times since I've been out here, which is horrifying, especially when you have no prospects, zero gigs lined up, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, rent's due in like a week. It's agonizing. It's anxiety inducing on a level that I don't even know if I can explain. Well, no, you guys have been through it. It's like it's so demoralizing.
People go and, like, you know, you come to LA to live a dream, right? Speaking of the dream, I've been to Jax's house. It's fucking beautiful. It's amazing. And we're sitting in Tom's house right now, and it's fucking beautiful and it's fucking amazing.
Thank you,
so
Rob.
You guys turned out fine.
We're chugging along.
You know what I mean?
We definitely didn't just come here and this happened, though. I just want to make it very clear. Like, I grinded for many, many, many,
well,
many
which is
years.
What the point I wanted to get to was that people come out here and we like chase our dream, right? We kind of think about the people that in our lives were, where are you from originally? Florida?
Michigan.
Where are you from?
I'm from the great state.
Oh, you're from Minnesota.
Twin cities, yeah.
Right, with Swartzen and Cedric. I think the three of you moved out here together on a bus, right?
Love Swartzen, love Cedric.
So we see those people where we're from and like, okay, well, John, who we went to high school with, got married at 25 and now he has a tire company. Like, he sells tires. Do you know what I mean? We're like, okay, that's that guy's life forever. But maybe it's not that he didn't chase his dreams. Maybe it's just that he didn't want to be broke and wondering where his next paycheck was coming from, you know, and that. So what made you
That's my sister.
Yeah.
To a T. She has to know where that check is coming from. She has works two jobs, has a great life, has probably more money than I do, but she just don't tell anybody. She just saves and works and works. And she'll allow herself to buy something, but she's got to know where that check's coming every Friday. Where I am, I'm like, if someone said, hey, let's go to Alaska, I'll be like, all right, I'll pack a bag and I'll think about it later.
Yeah, that's my life.
And I'll think about it later.
Yeah.
And that's my sister and I are polar opposites, but I get what you're saying. And I'm like knowing, I get it, I can respect it, but I couldn't live like that. I couldn't live like that knowing that she's got her jobs, she's happy, she's married, but I know deep down in her, she would love to do what I'm doing. She always looks at me, she's like, man, I wish I could do what you do. And I wish I could be like her.
Yeah, I wish I knew I had a paycheck. I wish I didn't have that anxiety every time I woke up in the morning. I wish I didn't like be like, okay, well, am I going to get to where? And then I think we have to realize that we're never going to get to where we want to be.
Never.
You know what I mean?
You're never going to be prepared. You're never going to be that. You just got to go do what you're going to do and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
And usually things work out.
You probably got a lot of family in Minnesota that's the same way, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I went to college and I worked a 9-to-5. I worked for a distributor and it was a great job. And honestly, I could have saw myself staying with that job for a long time and getting promoted within, even though I was god-awful salesman. Still.
Is that what you're doing? Sales 9-to-5?
I was a merchandiser and then I worked.
That mean? It sounds like you were a pirate.
A merchandiser, you just make pretty displays in the store for like, you know, the newest beer.
Shut up.
Did
you do your display here?
No, that's not my work.
He's got a very nice display, which by the way, Jax was not happy with the way he lit his candle on his table today.
Well, he's got a very nice expensive candle and I just,
compliments of Lisa Vanderpump. It was a housewarming gift.
So I fully figured it was a gift because it's like super expensive. Right. And I don't know why I know this, but I have some like, you know, you have knowledge in your brain that you just have, and you just don't know why. And we have a lot of candles in our house, but candles have memory. So the first time you light it, you have to let the wax go all the way to the edge or you're going to get that hole that everybody hates.
So we were saying that you have to like, you can't just light a candle and be like, that smells good. And then leave the room. You have to like sit it with your candle.
The first time. After that, it memorizes it. So it'll always go to the end. But the first time you light a candle, you have to let the wax go all the way.
Fascinating.
It's one of those things that you just picked up and you never forget. I tell this story to everybody because I get frustrated. I'm like, people, you're going to waste your whole candle. You could have just let it burn the whole time for the first time. And that way it goes evenly all the way down. Now, if you look at all the candles in my house, they all burn evenly down. We burn it to the very end of the wax.
Okay.
Because of candle memory.
Oh, God. I was about to say something along the lines of, ladies and gentlemen, the domesticated Jax Taylor. But honestly, in hindsight, when we lived together with no money at all, just going on auditions every day, you know, and you had a sheet for a wall and a tiny little living room that you partitioned off, you still loved candles.
I did.
You did.
I did love candles. Well, you got to remember, I lived with two other guys and Kristen for some of it. And a lot of different smells were coming into that apartment. So
A lot of smells.
I had my little area that I kept super clean that I partitioned off, like you said.
And I mean,
a TV on Craigslist through him. I found this huge flat screen. It was like one of the very first flat screen TVs that I ever made. And I remember we just got that TV. It was one of those big box TVs, but it was a flat screen.
And it had Sony. A huge thing in the back.
Yeah. God knows what reason.
It was like an air conditioning unit in the back of the fucking.
you could have fit two human beings in this TV.
That's what it was. You thought it was a TV. It was really just Tom and Tom like acting it out the entire time.
Different
mustaches.
It literally was one of those huge TVs and it broke and I opened it up and the brains of it was only this big, but you have this plastic thing. It's just it's just crazy.
Yeah, and then you need to change the light bulb and you're like, what?
And the TV was like $200. The light bulb cost $8,000.
Yeah, exactly.
If one of those breaks now, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed. Because to fix it, yes, and it costs double what it originally cost. And by the way, do you guys remember like when they were so big and bulky at one point, that was coveted, having that big monstrosity of a television.
Like the heavier it was to carry into your apartment, like the more you felt like I'm fucking made it.
Yes. Yeah. I remember before the flat screens came out, we got that 50-inch. It was a black TV. You remember the black ones with the big brains like back? You had to have about a good 5 feet of room for the back of the TV.
You had to move your TV your bed into the corner, like way in the corner because you had to put your TV in.
Because the TV was like the front of it would be in the living room,
right,
but the back end would be hitting the wall because there's so much so much room there. But I remember that TV, we got it from Best Buy. My dad got it. It was like the last one of the original 50-inch big black TVs, you know, with the brains in the back. And that thing weighed 8,000 pounds.
Yeah, you had to have at least 10 people to come over and help you move it into.
We,
No, I was going to say you had to do like the old school like San Francisco pulley system outside like the house to like get it up.
How did we get, how did we get that up there in hindsight? How many people did it take to get that TV upstairs? Because those are steep. It's a steep ascent up to Tom Sandoval's old apartment. And the door is tiny.
And Tom Sandoval's old apartment, isn't that the one where you guys live where you had to like turn off the microwave in order to
turn
off?
Yeah, it's still around. Jeremy lives there. Yeah.
But how did it even work a TV like that? Well, I feel like it would have drained all the energy out of the entire building.
Tom had this microwave that I've never seen before anywhere else other than Tom's house. And this microwave, I believe, could start an airplane.
You had to like use the propeller in the front to start
I don't know where he got that microwave, but it literally shut down the whole apartment. Yeah. It had so much wattage.
Yeah. It was a powerhouse.
You guys had some good mac and cheese and ramen in that place then.
Oh my God, so many exploded oatmeal bowls. We really like utilized and made the most of Craigslist. We were like kind of Craigslist scavengers.
Yes.
Like I remember Jax took me when we were absolutely broke living together. Side note, being broke back then, I don't know, maybe it's easy to romanticize in hindsight, but that was such a fun time because I was finally here pursuing my dream that I always wanted to do, but I didn't have the balls to. Finally mustered up the courage, resigned, yada, 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 met Tom on Craigslist, and all of a sudden I'm living with Jax Taylor.
Wait, you met Tom on Craigslist?
Yes.
So you did everything on Craigslist?
Yes, yes.
Dare I ask where you met Katie?
On Craigslist, yeah.
So we all moved out here to escape like normal society. Like we don't want to be the everyman, but we wanted to represent the everyman, right?
Right.
So like we came out here and then you were a model, right? You were a model. You were both models. Was that the dream that you came out
here
with?
I gotta say, I did it to stay afloat. It wasn't my passion by any means, but it was the job that I could make some good money, but I didn't have to work that hard.
So what did you come out here for?
Basically, working was going to the gym, and that was it. It wasn't like, oh my God, I want to be a model
so
bad.
Which is a lot of work, by the way, as you can tell.
Well, I mean, you got to understand, you got to come to this town. People don't really get it. I was a big fish in a small pond. You come to LA thinking, okay, I got this. And then it's 99% of the time, as you know, it's rejection.
Yeah.
And you go through that. I stopped modeling and all this. I think when I was 30, so almost 10 years ago when I quit. You got
to
think.
That's a long time to be.
It is. Mom. And people don't realize. I'm pretty open about it on the show. I go through therapy. I got a lot of things going on in my brain that some things are not right. And you have to understand, when I first came out, I think I was 90.
Was that your official diagnosis?
there's just a lot, there's a lot of things going on upstairs. And then when my therapist, I talked to him and they start picking apart your past. I left Michigan in 98, right after high school. I started doing this modeling thing for a long time. And so you got to remember, again, it's constant rejection. So basically every single day for the last many years I was doing this was no, no, you're not good enough. No, 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 no. Yes. And then you're happy for about a couple days, then back to no, 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 no.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing. I mean, I've been out here for 21 years doing acting, and I got my SAG card when I was 12. So I've been doing this my whole life.
Now imagine going to an audition and hearing somebody say this what you just said. I got my SAG card. I got this. I got this. And you're constantly getting beat down with, no, you didn't get this job. No, you didn't get this job. No. And you're just kind of like, fuck, man. But you just keep going and keep going. And then you go to parties with all this going on. And then you want to be in the conversation. So you start talking and making shit up just so you can fit in the damn conversation. Because you feel like an idiot. So that's a lot how where mine started, because I was just kind of like, I feel like I shouldn't be here, but I'm like, I have to be here. What else am I going to do?
Right, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I can't go back home as a failure because I've already made this move.
There's a pool party and you got to pretend how to swim.
Exactly. And you got to tell them what's going on here. What kind of party is this? Okay, I'm going to fit in. I'm going to be a chameleon. I'm going to tell them what they like to hear. It's just so people will talk to me because I was just a regular schmuck that came here to make a few bucks the easy way.
What about you? Did you come out here to model?
No.
Or did you just get a bus ticket on Craigslist?
I had a very conventional, route up until Los Angeles. I grew up in the Midwest, loved Minnesota high school, went to FSU, matriculated.
Ooh.
Shout out to FSU, go Noles.
Yeah, you're a Seminole.
And then I worked for a distributor in Jacksonville, lived with my parents for a while, but all along, around like my maybe junior to senior year, I started to come to terms with the fact that I really fucking wanted to be an actor. I always did, but for whatever reason, maybe it was just my surroundings or something from within. I was like, dude, who the fuck do you think you are? to think that you could be an actor. You know, I was a closeted actor. I was like ashamed of the fact that I wanted to be an actor.
Really?
It just seems so far-fetched. And yeah, I just felt almost pompous thinking, you know, who am I to think I could be an actor? You know,
did people tell you that during your life? Was it something that people
I did like theater in high school and stuff like that.
And people obviously told you you were good.
No, I wasn't very good, but I still loved it.
You were a good tree.
Even now, I'm not very good. Maybe that's why I ended up on reality TV, but I don't know what it was, but it was like this little, there was like this little pilot light inside, and like around my second or third year working for the distributor, it started to like, you know, turn into a little fire. And I was like, I got to do this because better a life of oh wells than what ifs, you know?
Yeah.
I remember that. I always like that quote. And I was like, yeah, so I resigned. I moved out here. I wanted to be an actor, but I didn't know shit. He saw firsthand how naive I was. You know, I'd read all the books, Stanislavski and stuff. And right away, I started getting some basic acting classes. But I was so green. I had no idea how much it took and just like how steep of a hill light ahead for me, you know what I mean? Oh my God. And I just was completely overwhelmed. And I'm kind of jumping all over the place here, but like,
no, that's
exactly. I just, yeah, right away for the first year, it was just trying to barely stay afloat, getting any possible gig I could get.
How long were you here before you found your soulmate on Craigslist?
That was about 2.5 years.
Okay, so you were floating by yourself for a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. We were having a grand old time, weren't we?
You were around 2 years before you met Katie?
About two, maybe one and three quarters.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was just hustling, trying to do finding every single job we could find on LA casting, Craigslist, finally securing a decent modeling agent. See,
by the way, if Craigslist doesn't fucking sponsor this fucking podcast after this, I swear to God.
We weren't above getting jobs on Craigslist when we were desperate sometimes.
Above getting jobs?
But you guys
pretty
met
much
quickly?
Do anything.
You guys met quickly or did you come out here and right away meet Sandoval on Craigslist and then go? Because that's what I was talking about your soulmate.
Well, I met Sandoval on Craigslist and then.
But like the day after you got off the bus, because I picture, for some reason, I picture you taking a Greyhound out here. I don't know why. But
it was 2003 Honda Civic.
Did you, or a Cessna? Or did you get out here and then look for a roommate and that's the person you found?
No.
You were here for a little while before you found these guys.
I made a love connection with Sandoval via Craigslist and then.
How long after you came out here?
No, I met him before. I had never met Tom in
my
life.
That's what I was asking.
I did it remotely.
So you only came here because you had a place to stay.
Yes.
And that was with him.
Yes. And he was doing everything I wanted to be doing. And then 2 months later, Jax Taylor walks in and then, you know, we've all been friends ever since.
And then Jax, you started working at Sur, right?
I've known Tom since 2003. We met in Miami when we were modeling. I came into some hard times. And I know Tom Sandoval had some space in his apartment. I'm like, hey man, do you mind if I stay with you? That's how I met Tom Schwartz. And then he asked Schwartz, he's like, the famous line is, as long as he's not too much of a presence. That was kind of like,
that's what he said about you?
Yeah. He's like, hey, I don't mind if Jack stays here, as long as he's not too much of a presence. And then it was all downhill from there.
That's awesome. But so you were working at Sur with Sandoval?
No, this was later on. So, this is years after. We didn't work at Sur for a long time until the show started, which was 10 years ago.
So this is where
I want to say about 6 months before the show started. So 6 months before the show started is when I got the job at Sur.
Okay. So this is what I wanted to ask because
I was working there prior to the show. If that's what you're asking me.
Prior to the show being announced or prior so there was nothing there.
No.
And they came.
I was living with Stassi and I was like modeling was going like I was going through one of those valleys, those peaks and valleys of modeling where I haven't booked a job in God knows forever.
Right.
And I was booking jobs, but my girlfriend at the time, I won't say any names, wasn't approving of the jobs that I was doing. And so she would go behind my back and tell the client he's not doing them. So I couldn't model. Okay. I wasn't working. I was a little bit kind of like above working a real job. I was catering. I was doing all that, but I was above working an actual job.
Yeah, of course. We all are.
It was like, I can't go to that. I'm going to miss my auditions. Plus I just don't want to be that way. I'd rather be poor than have to work a real job.
That
was my mindset at that time. Not now, but at that time, my mindset was I'm not working a real job. I'd rather be living on the streets.
Right.
Because as an aspiring artist, a struggling artist, I think it's socially acceptable to be struggling out
here.
We're
all doing it. Which goes back.
I'm not being naive. Is it like that still today? Like, I know when we were out there, you could be struggling and it's like, it was hot. It was like, well, it was cool. Clearly, I had a really good time living on a couch for 3 years and I did okay.
I can't really say because I'm not going to toot my own horn. I've had a few Trulies so far, so I'll toot a little bit. But like, I have a pretty impressive resume as far as like being out here. You know, I've worked a lot, over 30 TV shows and whatnot. Movie that made over $100 million.
The Hangover. Shout out to The Hangover.
I'm just saying that as a 43-year-old guy who still is not a household name,
right.
You know, who still isn't getting offered jobs, who still has to go out and audition, who still, it's hard. You know, it's not as hot in my age, but I think it's still like we live in a society where it's always acceptable.
It's acceptable.
Yeah. Exactly.
The determination is admirable and your passion is admirable. You know, I love that. I love people who know.
I got to be honest. When you guys, I mean, like I said, I'm looking around your beautiful house right now, beautifully decorated. Same with Brittany. I told her she should get into designing whenever this is all done. But when I go back to Philadelphia, it's not as admirable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, what are you doing now? What do you do? What do I know you from?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know what the fuck you watch. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then it's
not even admirable being on reality TV sometimes when you go back to Middle America. Yeah. Like, I go back to my wife's, and it's great. It's cool. But it's kind of like, I'm definitely 100% not embarrassed by any means. I've made a great career out of this, but it's sometimes it's a little like, you know.
Let me ask you a question.
Sometimes I say I'm on TV.
That's a great segue because I wanted to ask you guys, at some point you were offered to be on this show.
Yes.
What? Now you fucking drive a golf cart around the fucking town.
Mine's just a little bit of a story.
You're a guy's guy. Tom, you're a guy's guy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of the people that do reality TV, you don't see a lot of guy's guys doing it, right? Yeah. When you were offered this, obviously it came from the Housewives and Lisa, right? That's how the show got.
I was very questionable if I was going to, because I was literally on my way out. My relationship with Stassi was on the outs. It was pretty much done. I was literally packing up the truck and like things were out because Lisa offered this show to us, but I've also,
was it like a staff meeting?
No, she kind of came up to me and I got this through Stassi. Thank God I was dating. One of the good things that came out of dating Stassi was the show, but she knew Lisa, and there's many good things of dating Stassi. There's the few. This was the best one.
I'm Bo's my best friend, right? Yeah, so I'll just
Stassi's my good friend. Now and Bo's always my good friend. No, there was this also 10 years ago. 10 years. That's a whole almost a decade.
Absolutely.
Okay, we all change. But this is one of the good things that came out of it. And Lisa knew Stassi and said, "Hey, your boyfriend, would he be interested?" Now, mind you, I was at my wit's end. I was going through one of my downs where I hate life and I need to move back to Florida and I wanted to be a firefighter. And I was going through one of those ruts right there.
I didn't know that. You want to be a firefighter?
Well, I just thought it was the easiest job to be and without an education.
So he would have an annual meltdown. I had only known him a couple of years by then. A semi-annual meltdown where he'd be like, "I cannot do this anymore. Fuck LA. I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm moving back to Florida." But every time he did this, some sort of cosmic universe would step in and get him a great modeling job, like 10 grand, 15 grand. And he'd be like, all of a sudden, you would have the mojo again. You would have the momentum.
He's 100% right. Every single time this happened, where literally I was suicidal.
Thank you for wanting to be a fireman. That's
like, well, yeah, I'm not the type of guy. I'm not going to sit here and be a lawyer. Let's be honest. Okay. So
you're just going to run head first into flames.
Well, I'd do that or construction or something.
If that's not
something
poetic. I don't know what it is.
Or construction
about.
Worker. I did construction. Okay. I was in when I was younger, you know, or do maintenance or something like that. Right. I'm just wasn't the type that's going to be working in an office.
So Lisa came up to you and was like,
Stassi had this idea. Stassi
was already in.
She was already, again, this was just an idea at the time. Right. We have an idea. We have some people that want to hear you on tape. Would you mind going down there? And I'm kind of like this. And I've been promised everything in the book by this time. Okay. I've been told I was going to get this and everything fell through. So this to me was just another thing that was going to fall through. And I was already on my way back. I was like, all right, I'll go.
And this is what, 2000, it's been 6 years, right? 7 years? My point is, the only popular reality TV at that time were like maybe the Kardashians.
Road Rules,
Real World, yes. Which is like a new cast every season.
Right, right.
And then
we're at the tail end of Jersey Shore's run. Which was a hell of a run. I mean, it was a pop.
Right, but that was sensation. But that wasn't like, that was like, Jersey Shore is more of like, look at these.
We had the Hills. Laguna Beach.
It was the tail end of all of that. So it was kind of a...
There was no social media at the time.
Right.
Remind me that. I always try to tell people that when the hills and all, there was no social media.
That's so true.
Okay, so things have changed. And we do talk to some of the cast from the hills and stuff too. And we went to their premiere and everything. And I was asking them, like, what's it going to be like to go back on this with social media? It's going to be a whole new ball game. Because people either liked you... Remember the show? You either liked them or you didn't. But you didn't know who liked you and who didn't.
Right.
You didn't hear people meet.
I didn't know who so-and-so was. Like, I didn't, like, yeah, I didn't
just hoped it. You just wished, you thought everything was good. You got in a fight with your girlfriend. It stayed there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't really live anywhere else besides that TV show, that moment. And
that's a really good point. So you think, well, let's go back to that, but I want to go to you saying yes to the show. You were just like,
we got offered X amount of dollars. Now at that time I would have taken anything,
right.
But it was a good chunk of change for our first season. And I had about 3 or 4 credit cards that I owed off. Mind also my friends, also my family. I owed pretty much everybody in sight.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm in. And the only problem I had was I told my dad that I was coming home. So that was a hard part. I had to tell him no, I wasn't, because I had to borrow some money to come home because I couldn't even afford to drive my truck home.
Right.
So when this deal came in and they said, you know, we're going to do this, here's X amount of dollars, I was like, it wasn't a ton of money, but I thought I was fucking rich. I owed everybody and their brother, and I did exactly what everybody would do, not pay anybody back. Kept it all for myself.
Yep. Bought some shoes.
I bought everything you're not supposed to buy. You know, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, when you have money and you're like, if I could just have this much, I'd pay this person back. Well, I got it and I didn't pay anybody back.
You're like, well, I have that now. I don't want to lose.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's like, do I do the responsible thing and pay back my credit card?
So you said yes.
I said yes.
Tom, what about you? At what point were you like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, for me, I wasn't initially a primary cast member, and it's important to note. I don't know if it's important. It's not important, but it's maybe interesting to note that at that point I was starting to get some momentum in my acting career.
Right.
Commercially, I was starting to book the occasional commercial. I wasn't killing it by any means, but I was getting callbacks consistently. I was going out almost every single day. I had a good agency. I was with NTA, and I had my modeling agency in San Diego. I was starting to get work for me. I was starting to get some confidence after 3 years, a shred. You know, a morsel of confidence.
And you had a really consistent gig with this. I know people said that background agency, which was like a ton of money.
Yeah, I had gotten my SAG card, and I was doing a lot of commercial background, which from a financial standpoint, when you're broke, is amazing because your base rate's like $350. You usually end up making like $600 for the day with overtime.
Make that clear. He was with the Cadillac of background agencies. The one, not like the one that I used to do, was like $60 a day. Yeah. He was doing the ones where you're making $5 to $1,000 a day. He was like in that group. There was not many people in California. It was hard to get into that.
No, that's one of the people.
What was that name of that company?
I forget, but it was a great group of people, and there was a lot of lifers in there, and I was so grateful. But we're kind of jumping around
lifers.
Here. When you're doing that, that means you're not pursuing what you really moved out here to do, and I wasn't hitting auditions. Yeah, $600 for the day is fucking awesome, and I needed that money.
But you were always. But the dichotomy of those kind of jobs is that you're watching literally somebody in front of you do the job that you want to be doing.
Yes.
So
and also at that time, reality TV and acting didn't mesh at that time. It was not okay to be a reality. They didn't look at you the same. So if you did a reality, you're not doing the other.
Yeah.
It's a different time now.
Yeah.
Now, like Clint Eastwood's doing reality TV, like everybody is. But at that time, that was a huge jump.
Well, you had to have,
because if you did you could not be an actor.
Right. You had to have the acting background in order to do reality, and then you could go back to.
It's just if we wanted to jump into this reality.
No, but you say Clint Eastwood.
Now everybody and their brother's got a reality show. Reality is the way it is now, and if you don't like it, too bad. It's taken over. But at that time, if you were going to make that jump to reality, never be an actor.
That's a very good point.
It felt like going back to what you're saying. Yeah, it felt like a. So I was just starting to gain some momentum. So I was torn. Like I just finished.
I can imagine that. Like I said, watching somebody in literally. In front of you doing the job that you want to do, and somebody being like, move over to the side, to the right, you would want to be in the spotlight.
Yes. So I was working, and you know, I was in there. I had my SAG card. I was getting auditions. I was happy. I felt like I was making progress. No, regardless of how slow it was, you know, I was still making progress doing something that I was really fucking excited about. It was like a dream come true. You know what I mean? And then this opportunity comes along, and
Jack just said it perfectly. In my mind, there was a stigma attached to it. Doing this reality show, although I was intrigued and I was curious and I was like, whoa, this could be a good opportunity. I was weary. I was... Yeah, Tom had a little momentum. Again, we weren't killing it, but we were working. Mm-hmm. You know, I was starting to feel like, oh my God, maybe I can actually do this. And then Vanderpump Rules comes along, and I wasn't offered a position as a primary cast member, but all of my best friends, like Tom and Jax and Katie, I was dating Katie at the time. Awesome. The whole group, that was like my core group of friends, and they were all going to be on this show, and I was sort of show adjacent, and I was on the fence. And so I did it tentatively for the first season. I said yes, but I was very weary. Again, I didn't know again, actually. This is the first time saying this. I never thought I was above it. I wasn't self-righteous. I just was like weary. Because in my mind, that meant the end of my acting career, barely even started. It was in its infancy. So
no, that makes complete sense.
Yeah,
it was. People don't understand. Reality TV was extremely frowned upon when we started this. So it's like when we started this, I didn't care. I wasn't going to be an actor, but I know that's why these guys were on the fence about it. You know, and I want to say Nene from Housewives, when she did Glee, it broke everything open.
Yeah.
Everybody started allowing the reality people to act now. Actors were like, okay, well, I guess they do have to, because they just looked at us as a no talent.
There were a few people. There was Nene, there was Jamie
from The Real World, who was
Asian.
Jamie Chung.
Yes.
And another one from...
She's great. She's from The Real World. She was on Housewives. Hangover. Yes. She was on Hangover and all that other stuff.
She had red hair. She was in Ladder 49. She played Joaquin Phoenix's wife.
Yeah, the British girl.
Yes, the British. Yeah, she was on Real World.
Yeah, she was on.
She was a great actress.
She has a lot of stuff. But they kind of went away.
Went away.
And then they went away.
Right.
And then they kind of came back. People were like, oh, you're beautiful and we recognize you. How do we recognize? But they weren't currently on a show. Yeah. Like Jamie couldn't have done, she couldn't have currently gone from Real World to, I mean, that's why all of them went from Real World to Saddle Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of them couldn't get on actor.
Everyone thought, oh, we're shoo-ins for acting jobs now.
I worked at Saddle Ranch. I opened Saddle Ranch, and we were like the home for wayward reality stars.
Everybody was there. When I first moved here, everybody was there.
Yeah,
the Real World guys.
I must have dated like eight of them because I was bartender. You know what I mean? Yeah. They come in and be the waitress or waiter, and that's all I hung out with is Real World and Road World. All of them, all the seasons. They all came. It was like the bus. It was like you left the set of Real World Road Rules. And then it pulled up in front of Saddle Ranch. And they
that's a great way to put it, because you're 100% right. Every time I went there was Real World people working there, you know? And then they get here and they think, okay, I got this. And again, I keep referring to this.
The Bachelor Nation.
Which now it's all the Bachelor people who work there. That's funny.
The Bachelor Nation everywhere.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, Jared from The Bachelor was working at
Belmont. Yeah.
Vale's looking for places to work now. Like, I mean, they're all
Vale. That's I haven't heard her name in a long time.
No. Not Vale. I know Vale.
Oh
no, Vale's and you know Vale. Nick Vale, who was the Bachelor. Like, there's a whole bunch of them that are like they leave these paradise shows and this, but they wind up here and they think that something's going to happen. They wind up like promoting clothes for a little while. You know, I dated one that would like take pictures of me wearing this shirt and this shirt.
That's a new thing that just started happening the last couple of years.
Social media.
There was none of these influencers when we got out. Like that just started happening within the last 2 years, 3 years, influencers.
Yeah.
That wasn't a thing, even for the Real World people. They had to come here and get a job and that was it. This influencing thing, that's just the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, I never really put two and two together with social media and reality TV of why it succeeded, why it's gone so big. But I mean, look at the Kardashians. You know, their followers are in the hundreds, millions?
But their ratings are terrible, which doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, they're just terrible. I'll say it. I'm half Armenian.
I'm stating facts. I'm not saying whether I like the show or not like the show. I'm just stating actual facts.
Well, they took their thing. Kris Jenner built a business off of it. You know what I mean? She knew exactly what she was doing. But that's what you guys are doing too, you know, which is fucking great. What I appreciate is that when people take whatever they have and then they make it more.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So if you have five sticks, but then you build a fire out of it.
Right.
Like I can appreciate that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's right. Because I mean, like you said, it doesn't last forever. So while you're doing this, you have to keep in the back of your mind that this train is going to come to a stop at one end. That's why we try to, you know, do other things, make sure we got something going, plan B. Like, so when this does end, we have a business, we have a platform to use the platform.
So you would say
it's a free platform.
Right.
You
know, it really is.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, you guys would say that the show has affected your lives positively.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how could it? I mean, even all the shit that I've gone through, I'm in.
Because, I mean, there's definitely an argument for, like, you guys, you're putting your shit out there onto the fucking world. Yeah. You know, you have somebody that pulls up to you next to you at a red light while you're in your golf cart.
Happens all the time.
Not like trying to hide your identity at any point.
I don't care. Driving
a golf cart. But like, they're going to be like, okay, I know everything about that guy and what he's gone through at the red light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a negative.
I don't look at it as a negative. I don't. I mean, yes, I go through terms like, God, I can't believe I'm still doing this. And I can't believe I'm still talking about this on TV. But that's who I am now. I can't change that. I've done this so long that it's like just a well-oiled machine at this point.
Right.
So I don't mind doing it anymore. None of that really bothers me. It doesn't really bother me anymore.
Yeah, if people are, you know, it's very rarely are people rude to us in public or anything like that. But yes, to be put in a box is kind of scary. But like for the most part, yeah, it's been a positive thing because the barrier of entry is thinner. They feel like they know you, and I feel like a really instant connection with a lot of people. Like when I'm in Tom Tom and stuff, it's like, you know, right away they'll just come up and hug me and stuff, and I like that instant connection. They feel like they've grown up with us. You know,
it's funny because being in LA and watching you guys at like Tom Tom or wherever we are out together, and like, or even with Stassi and with Bo and everything, you know, because Bo is very protective of her, very protective. But like,
he's protecting his investment. Is that what you said? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
That is not what I said.
I'm just kidding. I thought that's what you said.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, just very. Anyway. Because Bo's never been exposed to this kind of stuff before.
No.
He went from Bo, who like would be in like four commercials, then you'd be like, "That's my friend Bo," and he'd be like, "That's not me." And he'd be like, "Dude, I know that's you. I remember when you booked it. You know what I mean?"
Right.
To now, he's Chef Bo RD on fucking.
Again,
you know,
that's somebody who was. He's in a well-oiled machine. He was doing his casting. He had a really good thing going, working at the casting place.
Yep.
He's going on auditions. He's making money through commercials. And at this time, you got to remember, we were going through a recession at this time, a really bad recession.
Yeah.
Where people were not paying for anything. Nobody was hiring, and we still got through it. I mean, we live in LA, so it was a little bit of a bubble for us.
Right.
But the rest of the world was hurting bad.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to make a buck.
Yeah.
And even my friends back home are losing their jobs, and they're the ones that went to college 4 years and have degrees and are intelligent. They had no money. I was still making money, and I didn't have an education. So, I mean, for him to be going through, he had a great apartment. Gosh, I've seen his apartment. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Love the bug.
I won't let him sell it.
Works a great job. Has a great job. And then he also got to audition on top of it. He had a really good thing going though, so for him to give that up.
No. He's 100% isn't like completely. I mean, like I said, I've never seen two people more perfect for each other.
Oh yeah, totally.
Than those two in my entire life. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll keep saying it 1,000,000 times.
Oh yeah.
But my point is that like now being around Stassi, I've always known you guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've watched it, but not from such a personal level that I have best friends that have won Oscars.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And people don't approach them. People don't talk to them. People don't feel like they know them. But because
they're playing a character.
Right. But because you guys are so personable.
Yeah, we're very approachable. I mean, yeah.
It's a whole nother monster.
The only show on TV that I can think of that you can actually go to a restaurant and meet the cast on any given night. You'll meet somebody.
That's very, very true.
And you don't have to pay or you don't have to wait in line. You can literally go to a restaurant and meet the cast and we're there.
Yeah.
I mean, how many shows do you know that you can just go meet a cast anytime you want?
So, God, Jax, you are the Segway king.
Right here.
For this. Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. He pointed to a candle, by the way. A candle. So that being said, this being a reality TV show podcast, what do you guys watch? Like when you're fucking off, besides Breaking Bad and all that other shit that everybody else watches, what do you watch? Because you know that there's reality TV that you watch.
The only one that I do watch consistently right now is 90 Day Fiancé.
Those people are fucking crazy.
And by the way, there's like 20 versions of that show. There's back. And there's not like The Other Way 90 Day. There's Before the 90 Day. I watch the whole franchise. There's
TLC. TLC fucking invested in this franchise.
They
They're like, we're going all in. We're going balls deep in this. We have one thing that's fucking working right now besides Little People. And I'll say that because it's a lot of Little People on the TLC.
Everybody I know loves that show. Little People in LA. Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm talking about I've watched Little People, Big Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
I watched A Little Couple.
Yes.
Like, I watch all that stuff.
I don't consider those much. They're reality.
Anything with a guitar where they play a guitar and there's a farm. That makes me feel good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I even watched the Duggars, man. Even after
some of them.
Yeah.
Now their kids' kids are having kids. Like, that's how long I've been watching that show.
Me too. Me too.
The kids, like there's grand, like there's grandkids, like yeah, there's grandkids.
I had a day in LA that I swear to God, I ran into Ozzy Osbourne at Erewhon. Right. And I was in line with Ozzy Osbourne at Erewhon. He was like, oh, Think Thin bar. And blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Solid impression.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You didn't see
me. I went on a couple of dates with his daughter.
Well, that's interesting.
That's my Ozzy Osbourne story.
How did that go?
It was just a couple of dates. She's a really cool girl, but
yeah, I wouldn't pair you guys up.
She's way too smart for me.
That's like, not what I was saying.
No, she's extremely, extremely intelligent. And I was just way out of my element.
I would actually see you dating Sharon more than her.
No, Sharon? I like Sophie.
She's, oh, that's another reality Sophie's show awesome. That paved the way for everything.
I, you know what? And that's another thing, too, that got scary, especially when Brittany started getting involved. I mean, how many reality shows do you know that couples actually make it through it?
Right.
Remember the Simpsons one? Jessica Simpson and...
Oh, I thought you... I was like, Marge and Homer are still together, by the way.
A lot of reality shows where it's ripped couples apart and then they're in on the tabloids.
So going back to TLC, even the TLC shows, like you watch those people, Kate Plus Eight, they're fucking divorced. The roll-offs on fucking TLC, the Little People, Big
Drugs.
World, they're divorced.
Yeah.
The Duggars molesting everybody in his family. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, you get those cameras and these kids are being raised.
Right.
But my story was I was in Erewhon with Ozzy Osbourne and I was like, all right, it's fucking Ozzy Osbourne. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Oh, I have a story now. Then I went to walk my dog and I came across Jeremy Roloff and I stopped and like, talked to him and was like, hey man, I'm a big fan of Jeremy Roloff, this guy from TLC. You know what I mean?
People say that all the time because again, like going back to we're personable, you know who we are, you watch our life story. I was bartending at Sir one time and I think, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Robert De Niro and he was with his wife and his wife came up to me and asked me for a picture and I saw him over the, of course I was staring the whole time because it was Robert De Niro, right? And I think he was with his wife and his wife came up and asked me for a picture and I was like, oh yeah, can I have a picture of your husband? Like,
yeah.
And she knew all of us. She's like, yeah, he's whatever. But nobody was going up to him. I mean, that's Robert fucking De Niro. We have like Lady Gaga comes in. We will be the ones with the crowd. It's just because I think we're just more approachable.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way I'm going up to De Niro and asking for a selfie. No. Not in this lifetime, pal.
And I was like, and I told Jeremy Roloff too. I was like, tell your brother I say congratulations on his wedding. Do you know what I mean? It was like, but that's the thing. It was like a more personable, but this TLC shit is like, I was watching 90 Day Fiancé, right? I did my podcast with Bo about 90 Day Fiancé, and we just kind of ripped into everybody, right?
Yeah.
Because, they know how to... So I've had a lot of friends that are reality TV casting directors, and especially with, like, competition TV. I think I've dated somebody from every CBS competition show. But, like, you do, like, a fine line on that psych test. When you're taking that psych test, you're like, okay, especially with real world road rules, you know, that whole stuff. It was like, you're not clinically insane, so you can be on this show. As long as you're not going to be stabbing somebody in the neck, you might want to strangle them.
Yeah.
But as long as you're not stabbing somebody in the neck, you can be on this TV show.
I just don't get it. I mean, how many billions of people do we have? How many billion people do we have in America? You can't find somebody here? That's my thing. You need to go over, and then not only is it not a cakewalk, they go through all these horror films like cheating and not just taking their money. You get the same shit here. Why do you need to go overseas to have all this happen to you?
Because those people,
and they can't even pay their rent, but they're trying to pay for someone to get their visa who they've never met before, but yet they don't even know where their rent's going to come from next week.
Tom, do you watch the show?
It's new to me. I'm right now. I'm just sort of dialed in listening to you guys. I love listening to Katie and Bo and Jax talk about it. I've seen like a few episodes, but I'm listening to you guys riff. I'm intrigued. I dig it.
Well, to your argument, I just binged Catfish.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
That's all in this fucking country.
Right.
And it's all the same shit, but these kids are fucking 19 years old. They're 19 to 20 fucking 4 years old. And it's America. And sometimes these people are like, at least with 90 Day Fiancé, they're FaceTiming. They're lying to their FaceTime.
Yeah.
That's a new, I'm coining that, TM.
I like that.
Lying to your FaceTime.
I like it.
But like on Catfish, they're like, oh, my camera's broken.
Yeah.
They haven't talked on the fucking phone in 3 years. Do you know what I mean? It's like, how are you?
I think there's got to be something going on internally because I just don't understand it.
Well, and then I always feel bad for the catfish. So just like 90 Day Fiance, I feel bad for the person that's that.
Yes, that's why I can't watch that.
Who's the blonde?
The poor girl shows up and like nobody's there or it wasn't really me. Or the guy shows up and he doesn't look
good. No. So I feel bad. You're misunderstanding me. I feel bad for the catfish. I feel bad for the person that comes out of the house who's been lying to the person the entire time.
Oh, that it gets called on it.
Who's got no teeth and is fat and is like, I was bullied in school. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's always a deeper rooted issue there as to why. And they start to maybe delve into that a little bit. Or if it's not readily apparent enough, sad.
Yeah.
I mean, not to...
issues on both sides? Do you think the dater and the person... There's got to be issues on both sides. Because why is that person online? Yeah. To me,
It's gotten to the point now where they're both like not to go too much into catfish, but it's gotten to the point now where like the later episodes, they're both catfishing. So like... The person that Neve and whoever the co-host is will be there to help is like going to help them. And then she's like, well, I didn't really have the same, like my face on the picture either. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, now you're just doing double catfish.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Which I don't know, but at least with 90 Day Fiance, it's like, you know who the person is.
Yeah.
You just don't have, it's just easier when you're in Germany or
these women, and now they're going over there and they're bringing their kids. Like this one woman I watched, she has a 3-year-old daughter.
Some of the blonde, heavy set.
Her child's name's May.
Yeah.
And she goes over to
the
Egyptian guy. She's going over.
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
She's taking her daughter. But how does family services, child services not step in on this? Like how have they not, like this is completely wrong. 100% wrong. And no one is doing anything about it.
Yeah, but nobody can say anything. I mean, weren't they supposed to open a hairstyling company together or something?
She's taking all her money. She's a barista, for God's sakes, and taking all his money. And like, you could sit there and be like, yeah, we're opening a store. What kind of store? I don't know. I don't know. But why do you need $6,000 for a store that you don't even know what you're going to be opening? I don't know.
Yeah, but if you have those conversations with anybody, I think they're from Kentucky or Mississippi or something. Not to
There's
knock on that.
Kentucky.
My whole family's from Georgia. So, like
dude
I said,
from Kentucky, he wears a bulletproof vest all over the place.
Yeah, it's like most of those stories, though. That's what they do anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm going to buy a truck and drive it, and it's like where he's
that's
like.
That's what I love about the. I'm sorry, let me cut you off, but that's what I do love about 90 Day right now. And I feel like they're going to get away from it because they're going to see how popular the show has gotten. Now you're going to get a bunch of Hollywood types that are going to start. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But right now it's awesome because you're getting middle America and these people don't know about cameras and they're being as real as they can. Yes. These are people from all walks of life just being like, this is normal to me.
How about Colty?
That's how he lives.
How about watching Colton, who lived with his mom, who is probably the most awkward person you could ever fucking imagine in your entire life. Have you seen this guy, Tom?
No. Colty from Vegas.
Yeah, this guy was in Vegas. He lived with his mom. He had no body shape. He was like one of those guys.
Like a penguin from like Batman.
That's exactly what he looked like, except he had glasses and like a kind of his hair is pushed to the side. And he talked like this.
He talked in bites, though, if you watch how he talked. It's almost like he studied it a little bit.
Yeah. If you were like, Rob, if Mindhunter came to me tomorrow.
And said, you call me, man, because I'm obsessed right now with that show. I'm obsessed. Go ahead. Continue.
Anyway, if Mindhunter came to me tomorrow and was like, we need you to pick out the 5 people that you would suspect being mass murderers right now. Colton would definitely be fucking 100%,
one of them. 100%.
He's red flagged.
Yes. Yeah. But he met his match with this fucking, with his fiance who will actually stab him in the fucking throat.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a bizarre, you know what baffles me too? And this is me watching it from a guy who's on a reality show. I got friends of mine that will not be on camera for 2 seconds. They're walking into third world countries. We're talking to a family who's never even probably seen a TV and they're like, they're cool with it. They're like, but meanwhile, I have a buddy like, hey man, you might go on camera. He's like, no, I won't do that.
Yeah.
But the person from a third world country.
They're like feeding dinner and
they're like feeding dinner and they're like, their beliefs are a whole lot different than ours, but they're allowing cameras into their sitting down.
Did you notice that they were like, so on this,
and they're not getting anything from that.
The people that he's talking about is the same woman that brought her daughter over and all that other stuff. I think it was Tunisia or something like that.
That's another one. Yeah. These countries. My point of the story is they're going into third world countries when people are super, super religious and super weary about.
Well, that's
stuff.
My point
and
is that
like, yeah, bring the cameras in.
The whole storyline is like, you can't hold my hand in public. You can't touch me in public. And she's like, like, but I want to love you. And he's like, you can't do that. Meanwhile, there's a camera following them fucking around. And it's like,
but yet you can't, like, the girls can't show her hair and this and that. And it was just like this. But there's a crew.
Yeah.
Walking around.
So you and Brittany watch, this is your thing. Katie watches it too?
Yeah, Katie loves it.
Okay, so to the point. That's, again,
Katie
really loves that show. Yeah. You can hear yourself. Tom can hear himself in his headphones right now, so he's just
Well, I'm self-conscious about how nasally my voice is, so when I do podcasts, I overcompensate.
No, you have a very good voice. You have a very good voice.
It's a little nasally.
I noticed that I breathe weird. Anyway, so now people are going to fucking realize that every time I talk.
Oh, don't draw their attention to it.
Yeah, I won't. I just, now we're talking about it. So, by the way, Truly is amazing. It gets you through any kind of anxiety or,
Truly is great.
Yeah. Truly is truly better than White Claw.
If you're low on Xanax or Ativan, I'm just kidding.
You got to jump on the bandwagon. Everybody's jumping on the hard seltzer bandwagon.
Why not?
I'm not drinking this week. We were chatting about drinking because I'm not drinking this week, being healthy. I'm in the zone. I got my flow going, but this is our buddy Kyle's from Summer House.
Okay, Katie watches 90 Day Fiancé. The show is mostly about guys who are forced to watch reality TV show because their girlfriend or wife or whatever sits down and watch The Bachelorette, and you have nothing else to watch. You have one TV in your fucking house. You're not going to your bedroom because fuck that. You're not forcing me to go to my bedroom to watch fucking TV. So you watch it.
Yeah.
Right? Then you get involved in it. Katie obviously has not forced you to be watching 90 Day Fiancé because does she go to their house?
No, she doesn't. I think she gave up on me many years ago. Like, I'll just check out and listen to I'm a massive consumer of podcasts, or like just, I love going down the rabbit hole on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, dude, that's such a dangerous.
I mean, of course, the only reality TV shows that I really love so far, I'm very open-minded, open to suggestions. I'm loving, like, I'm probably going to dive into 90 Day Fiancé. I love cooking shows.
I love cooking shows.
Yeah.
Top Chef's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Top Chef. I love
Chopped.
Beat Bobby Flay. Chopped is great. I love every show. I love Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah. So you like turning your brain off. You don't like the drama of it.
I don't consider those reality shows, though. Like, I don't consider,
the reality.
I like those shows. She's like American Pickers is probably one of my favorite shows.
But
I don't consider that reality.
No, but see, that's the point, is that, like, there's different kinds of reality shows. There's types of reality shows like Housewives, like 90 Day Fiancé, like other shows where you can sit down and go, okay, I'm getting involved in these characters, and I'm getting involved in, like, their lives, and I'm getting involved in the drama and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's American Pickers and Pawn Stars and that stuff, where you can just literally turn your brain off for an entire Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And just sit there and stare at the screen and be like, oh, yeah. Abraham Lincoln had
all the car
knife.
Shows, too. I love all the car ones.
And I like to maybe learn something. See, I never had an appetite for melodrama, which I understand is incredibly ironic being on a show like Vanderpump Rules. But I have, honestly, if I wasn't on this.
You still stay out of it even now, even after 8 years. You get into it when you have to, but it's not like you're not in there in the heat of it, in the meat of it, like usually I am or I'm into it. I don't mind it. Yeah. You stay away from it.
I have no appetite for gossip or melodrama whatsoever. It's not a self-righteous thing. Like, Katie gets upset because she says I'm no fun to gossip with and no fun, you know, sometimes it's fun to lean into somebody and roast somebody or like talk shit. I'm just not good.
Do you know
at
that's
it.
What makes us, there's a book out called Sapiens. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah, Sapiens is awesome. Listen to the audiobook right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's really.
So you know how they talk about, like, what makes us a human being, what makes us a homo sapien is the fact that we were able to gossip, and that's what separated us from other tribes, is because we were able to say Tom is not good because Tom wants to fuck Jax's girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he shouldn't be part of our tribe.
Yeah.
Like, it's the gossip that made us actually smarter and wiser than everything else.
I haven't got to that yet, but I just,
instead of being like hunt, kill, it was like, we don't trust him because of this, but I'd tell you that, which is gossip.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's, they should do, you know how Cosmo has those, I don't know why I'm talking about, like I'm a 13-year-old girl, but it's like you take a quiz and it tells you about your personality.
Yeah.
This is funny to watch from this side of the table because, like, you are basically saying your personality types by what reality show you're watching. Like, you're saying, like, 90 Day Fiancé.
Right, because I enjoy gossip.
Right.
You know, I like it.
Jax is great at it. And this is not a knock against him. He's just fun. Jax is fun to talk shit about somebody else with. He's just good at it. And he
well, it intrigues me. I didn't ask this. It's just it intrigues me. Yeah. Like you know, it doesn't intrigue him. That's just what
you're a fucking Homo sapien. You're a fucking and they're called Neanderthals. Well, that's, you know what I mean?
That's what makes this world great. Everybody's different. Everybody likes different things. Everybody brings different things to the table. That's
look what I'm doing, you know? Dude. I'm the same. You know what I mean? Like I'm a boots wearing backward hat, fucking drinking. You know, like but. I have a reality TV show fucking podcast. Like, yeah. I'm not afraid to fucking admit it. I'm a reality TV whore. I watch everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I fucking love it. But it's funny that you tend to go towards the things where you're like, do you get uncomfortable when you're watching Chopped?
I think it's some of it has to do with the fact that like I don't know what it is at this point in my life. I kind of feel dumber than I've ever felt in my life. And I've always strived to be a better person, to always be learning more. But for some reason, I feel really dumb. And I think, I don't know why it is.
I'm
happier than I've ever been in my life, but I feel dumber than I've ever been in my life. So I've been overcompensating with trying to consume content in which I'm learning something.
Okay, well, so that's
everything's because we're so lazy now. That's people in human. Everything's so easily accessible. Well, you don't have to learn anything
right.
anymore.
So we have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have everything right on our fingertips. I actually have a channel for you that I just started listening to. It's called Gaia. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's all quantum physics and learning how the human body works and the brain and how the universe is where we're all connected and that kind of shit. It's not spiritual. I mean, there's yoga shit on there, but it's like literally I'm learning quantum physics while I'm fucking watching the shows and learning about shit. I have to watch it like four times.
Yeah, I need that.
But you can learn it. Which brings me to my next question for you guys, which is, and this is a big question, how much of reality TV is real?
I would say it would depend on the show.
Oh yeah, definitely depends on the show. If you're asking in regards to Vanderpump Rules, it's too real. I always say the same thing when people ask me when they say is it real. I'm like yes, and I honestly wish it was soft scripted or semi scripted because then I wouldn't have to take responsibility for a lot of the shit I do, which I lose sleep over sometimes and everything. But if anything, it's too real and authentic and raw. And I think that's one of the main reasons it's been so successful.
I agree. I mean, I would love to get up every morning and read a script and go in and then clock out at 5 o'clock and be like, all right, let's go do something else and turn it off. But the thing is with ours, we don't turn it off. Like, yes, just because we're not filming doesn't mean we're not still going through it. Just because the cameras are done with that scene doesn't mean we're still going through it.
You guys have had stuff that happens on like you said, social media is a huge part of your shit because people get to see what's going on with you guys all the time. And I'll vouch for you guys just recently being a part of your lives more often that real shit. Do you know what I mean? But people still will say, no, I mean, that's gotta be fucking, I mean, that confrontation couldn't have happened. Why was the camera there?
I do a lot of social media just because I like to show people that this is truly what we're doing and what we do on a day-to-day basis. Cause we're not filming.
Yeah, but
right
people
now.
Can say your social media is.
No, cause I'll be doing all kinds of things and how I really talk to normal. I'll have someone tape me and I'll put it online that's how we really are. And I want to stress to people that this is really who we are. Yeah. And I think even when I do it, when I do live chats or whatever, they're like, wow, they really do this. And they're like, wow, you're the only show that actually does this. I get that a lot. You're the only show that your castmates actually get online, answer questions, do real things. And like, wow, that's real, legitimate show. And that's.
Yeah. I know for the first six seasons, at least from my perspective, people like when they would come up to me, they'd be so stoked and we would riff and we'd have a great rapport, but they would always preface their initial comment with, so I know reality TV is fake. I know your show is fake, but, and after like seven seasons, they finally stopped doing that. I think they've realized, you know, like if the show was fake by now, somebody would have came out and squeaked and be like, listen, the show is bullshit. It's fake. Somebody in an angry rant or something. One of our cast members would have broke 100% by now.
Somebody said to me once.
That's very true. I never thought about that. Yeah. Somebody would have broke by now. The secret would have been out of the bag.
For sure. Of course. They want that kind of, they want that attention. Yeah. Somebody said to me once, they're like, it doesn't matter if it's real or scripted. Pardon me, truly. It doesn't matter if it's real or scripted. Whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth. Yeah. So like that's a real thing that's like being said, especially on these shows. Like my friend was a behind the scenes PA for The Bachelor. And they're like, yeah, everybody has their fucking person that they're attached to and they feed them alcohol and they do shit. But then like they might push him in a certain direction as far as like, do you know Jax is talking shit about Katie? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then like that person will be like, well, fuck that and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, like, I will say like, you know, for instance, if I get in an argument with Tom or whatever, normally I wouldn't talk to the guy. Normally you would talk to the guy for a week, let things cool down. Then he say, hey man, we'll go grab a beer. They'll put me right in the room the next day and say, listen, you need to hash this out right now.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, it's like being in constant couples therapy with your significant other or with your friend. It's constant couples therapy. So yeah, it sucks sometimes in the moment getting in there and dissecting why you cheated on your girlfriend or something. It's horrific. Yeah. I'm not looking for sympathy, but like,
I couldn't imagine.
Oh God, if you're a good person, anyways. Yeah. But it's ultimately long-term, I think it's good. So you're not bottling things up. That resentment's not bottling up. You're forced to get in there and hash it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. It's constant. It's constant couples therapy.
Yeah, he's right.
How long do you guys think this is going to go on for a while longer? Not just Vanderpump, but I mean like there is a reality Crave going on. I mean, you guys are nominated for a People's Choice Award now, right?
We've been many times.
I know, but that's politics. The thing. It's part of the whole culture now. Like when the cavemen,
it's not going away by any means. And I think that's the thing. When we were going back to what we were talking about earlier, it was such a new thing, and people thought it was going to be a phase.
Yeah,
it's definitely not a phase. Everybody and their brother's got a reality show on their network. It's some kind, some way, some form. Even the big actors, the big ones, the A-listers. Like I said, Clint Eastwood. Even the big ones. When these guys start saying, "Okay, we're going to do M2," they're jumping on the bandwagon. Then it's pretty much taken over.
Yeah.
I'm shocked about just how much of a phenomenon it's been. Not just our show, reality TV in general, but our show. Like, there's the people I've met at TomTom, you know, like Miley Cyrus knows about our show. She's aware of different cast
members. Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yes. This is mind-boggling to me. Like, you know, the first time I met Lady Gaga, just very briefly, I had just gotten engaged to Katie, and she was at Pump. I think her and Lisa are friends, and she knew my name, and I'll never forget that.
That's insane.
This is I had my Lady Gaga story. I was actually meeting Lisa at Pump, and this is one of my stories. Jennifer Lawrence too, same thing. She knew more about me than I knew about the show. She knew more about what I did on the show because I don't really watch the show a lot, so she would retract the episodes. I'm like, I don't even remember that. For instance, when I went to meet Lady Gaga, which I didn't even know I was meeting Lisa for dinner. She was just there, right? First thing I'm saying, I'm like, first of all, I'm in starstruck a little bit. You know, I'm sitting down, I'm very quiet. First thing, she grabs my arm, right? My wife, my girlfriend at the time, just got her boobs done. She needed to see Britney's boobs. She's like, Jax, first of all, no introduction, no anything. Just Jack grabs my arm. Who is your girlfriend's doctor? I need to see the pictures. Like, she looks amazing. No introduction. No, like, hey, how are you? It was right into it. And she went right into an episode and she just knew. And I was like, I was taken back. And I was like,
Give our doctor a shout out.
Dr. Lakey. Dr. Lakey in Beverly Hills is
good friend of mine.
Good friend of everybody's. Yeah. And he's everybody's doctor at some point on this show, I think.
What?
No, I was just going to say, I love Dr. Lickie. I've actually never got any work done by him. This is, and I feel like,
your wife's mother?
I love Dr. Lakey.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's everything I think my parents wanted me to be. Everybody my dad wanted to be a doctor. He's funny. He's charming. He's humble. He's
and how did
talented.
He do so much work on himself? The dude is fucking
he
gorgeous.
Looks like a Ken doll. I know. And I tell him, he's always, and he's very humble about it too. I think he's just one of the nicest human beings. Yeah. You know, I was very fortunate to meet him through an ex of many years ago, but back to what I was saying.
Yeah. So Lady Gaga grabbed you.
So she grabbed, just goes to show you, she didn't even you know, Pasco, collect $200. She went right into it without even an introduction to herself, grabbed my arm and wanted to know the doctor I used on an episode. Like that show from Lady Gaga, who can talk to and ask anything she wants to anybody. She came up to me and asked this question.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's got a huge, and getting back to Jennifer Lawrence, when I did the bartending gig, when she was on, she knew, she went right into an episode and asked me questions on things, and didn't even introduce myself yet. And then we introduced ourselves later, but they're so invested in it.
So speaking of investment, God, he's the segue king. You're the segue king.
Before we segue on that one, I will say one more thing, even though this has been such a wild ride and we have so much momentum, you know, and it is a bit of a phenomenon. Still, this whole time, I think I've never felt secure. I've never felt like I have any job security.
Okay, so now you're the segue king because I was going to say the Kardashians have been on for 16 fucking years. I didn't even know that.
16?
It's been 16 seasons.
Oh, good for them. Wow. Good for them.
Yeah, a couple of the Kylie, I mean, look how Kylie.
Yeah, they were before. Like 10, 11 years old or some shit. I mean, it's fucking.
Yeah, that's crazy. She's like the number one model in the world.
Yeah, I mean, they were babies. It was kid. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the 16th season. I'm sure that E does like two a year, yeah. Like Survivor. You know what I mean? Survivor has not been on for 30 years. It's been on for fucking 12, but they're on the 30th season. Anyway, what they've done is they never knew when it was going to end. So they've taken their publicity and put it into something else. You guys are putting shit into something else. You have TomTom, which is fucking amazing.
Pretty cool.
Do you think it's going to, are you going to build that? Cause I mean, they just had a year and it was fucking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
the year anniversary.
Had our 1 year anniversary. It was great. We had a really, really successful year. Super grateful. We're going to expand soon. And you mean in terms of like franchising and stuff?
I don't know. Maybe.
But right now, you know, it's still.
Do you see
like
yourself being a bar owner? Do you see yourself like?
I always felt like on some level I would at least be an investor in a bar. I don't think I'll be a restaurateur. I don't think I have it in me.
Yeah.
I spent my whole life trying to get out of the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
But I still, I don't know. I feel like I'll never fully get out. I'll always be in some way, shape, or form. But I'm really, really proud and honored to be a part of this one. It's a special endeavor. And I don't know. I'd like to have like a dive bar. Like honestly, I'd like to have a dive bar with Jax and Tom or something. I've always dreamed about having a
dive
bar.
That would be a fucking great, like a real dive bar, like Bayou.
Yes. Shout out to
that's
Bayou.
So funny. We love the Bayou.
I love the fucking
Bayou.
I love
that guy. Whatever they got going on there, keep it going. You guys are awesome.
There's a place across from TomTom. If you guys ever go to TomTom. And go to TomTom because TomTom is amazing. Great drinks, great food. But if you ever go there, you're welcome. It's the truth. But if you ever go there, do yourself a favor and go across the street to the Bayou because it's a little hole in the wall.
It may scare you at first, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah, you can do fucking beer bongs.
Highly recommend the funnel.
it's a great place. We know we love that place. Awesome. It's very easy. It's very brings us back to our roots.
We pitched the beer bong for TomTom, but Lisa put the kibosh.
I don't see it being. You know what you should call it? Just don't call it a beer bong. Call it a beer pump.
Ooh.
And then, like, do you have some sort of.
Bedazzled or like an industrial shit?
Yeah, I mean, bong. You know how many people would want to do? Because wasn't it your engagement party that Lisa did the bedazzled funnel?
Yes.
That, you know how many people would come there just to do that?
And people ask about to this day, they ask about the funnel.
So you weren't a part of TomTom.
No.
But you have a whole bunch of shit going on.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. I partnered with Lance Bass, my buddy JT, and my buddy James Curley. We started a drink called Just Add X. I partnered with another buddy of mine. I'm getting involved in the cannabis world a little bit. The thing that I like to do, you know, I'm not really... I've kind of cut back on that. Like, what other projects can I do? I like investing in things that I've already started, things that are already going. So if there's projects out there that, you know,
like Rain, I fucking love Rain.
Rain. Oh yeah. Like Rain. And then, there's a couple other gig things going on that I've invested money in. And that's kind of like the silent partner where you just kind of don't know who's involved, but people are involved. I like doing that because this is a lot of work to start a business, to start the name, to go through all the promoting. I'm really into finding out what's going on and who needs money for what project.
I couldn't do what you guys do. I couldn't run a bar. I've been in the bar industry too long.
It's a lot of work. I mean, and it's a lot of work for them and they don't even have to do a lot of it.
Isn't it ironic? Do you think it's ironic that you guys
married to that.
Isn't it ironic that you guys always thought that you always wanted to be the face of something? And now you're the face of fucking something. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you're literally the face of money.
It was great because you know what kind of work it takes to be the face of something. That's why going back to what I just said, I like projects. I find out projects that are already going, who needs a little bit of money, where this is going to go. I don't have to put any social media involved. I just give them a little bit of money and I collect a percentage and I go. I really enjoy doing it that way. But I also see what it takes to start a business and be the face of something. I mean, you literally, people lose their marriages over it. They lose their money over it. It's a scary thing.
Well, I can't wait for Jax and Tom Candles to come out.
Yes. After this podcast, we are going to start a candle company. And I will have the directions on
how to burn
on the back
it.
On how to get candle memory.
Well, guys, I want to say that I really appreciate you doing this for me. This is a huge thing for a reality TV podcast to even have you guys on there. I swear to God, you guys are the two most recognizable males in reality TV right now.
Come on.
If not the two most handsome males in reality TV.
That's a right? Handsome part.
Yeah. I mean, I'm four Trulies deep and I'm staring at you. So
you're not too shabby yourself, Rob.
Oh, thank you.
Come
Tom.
On now.
Thank you, buddy. So do my little XO. Remember, guys, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe. We're available in your favorite directories such as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeart. You can find us at Believe.com at Believe Podcast. Please rate the show on iTunes, and you can follow me at Forever's Evers, E-V-E-R-S, E-V-O-R-S. And guys, again, I just want to thank you so much. I had a great time.
No, thank you so much for having us.
Awesome.
Definitely do this again.
Let's do it again.
Yes, and you guys have inspired me to watch more reality TV, for real. And I'm going to. Next time, I'm going to be a better guest.
Get caught up on that 90 day.
Guys, reality TV is better than real.
Thank you.